Julie Ryan, noted psychic and medical intuitive, is ready to answer your personal questions, even those you never knew you could ask. For more than 25 years, as she developed and refined her intuitive skills, Julie used her knowledge as a successful inventor and businesswoman to help others. Now, she wants to help you to grow, heal, and get the answers you've been longing to hear. Do you have a question for someone who's transitioned? Do you have a medical issue? What about your pet's health or behavior? Perhaps you have a loved one who's close to death and you'd like to know what's happening. Are you on the path to fulfill your life's purpose? No matter where you are in the world, take a journey to the other side and ask Julie Ryan.
Hi, welcome to the Ask Julie Ryan show. Today we have Azra Astral, who went from being a corporate executive with an MBA and CPA into the magical world of Vedic astrology. We explore the concept of karma, the significance of birth charts, and how aligning with our life's purpose can lead to a more enjoyable life. We even talk about how planetary alignment affects relationships. It was a fascinating discussion about astrology, destiny, and the potential for positive change in our lives. I know you're going to love Azra and benefit from this conversation. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ask Julie Ryan show. I'm thrilled you're with us today because we have Miss Azra with us. Hi, girl. Welcome to the show.
I am so excited to be here, Julie. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You bet. Yeah. All right, let's get right into it. You say astrology is like the weather report. What do you mean by that?
Oh, so what I mean by that is that, you know, astrology, you know, when you were born, you were born when certain planetary events were taking place, right? So you are born, that becomes your static potential. So it's like a weather report. If you know that it's going to rain, what do? We don't sulk and sit in our homes. Well, that is one option. You can do that. But what we want to do is that we want to get our umbrella out and just, you know, go about, you know, doing what we were doing, right? So the static potential in Vedic astrology is like that weather report. When you were born, it sort of summarizes all the potential, the static potential that your birth chart holds. And now you can decide if you want to use it. You can use it. And if you don't, you don't have to, because I, again, left brain, numbers person, I never believed in these things, although these things are a big part of my culture where I come from, but I've never used Vedic astrology. But my journey actually involves not believing in astrology. And again, things happen. In one event, I consulted with a Vedic astrologer and he was able to give me really good guidance and prediction. Despite of that, I did not use it. So I said, you know what? I am going to make things happen. Again, hustle. I will do that. But what he said actually happened. And that's where I had this epiphany, well, I would say awakening rather, that if I could have used that information, that would have changed my life. That would have actually automatically solved a lot of my problems, because I knew that things could go in that direction. So I could have exercised my free will. That's where the whole journey started. That's where I went back, studied with my guru in India. He's a very renowned astrologer. He's 92 years old. Well, he's still extremely sharp. I studied with him. I had the privilege of studying with him. And that's how my journey began, actually. So I do genuinely feel that, yes, astrology is like your weather report. You can decide to use it. You can decide not to use it. But it's there.
Does that, I'm interested, the thought, many thoughts are coming into my head.
Yeah.
Here already. And one is, I've been told a bazillion times, Azra, that we all choose when we're born, where we're born, to whom we're born, and the circumstances into which we're born. So our lives can have a basic trajectory that will allow us to explore and experience things that our spirit wants to explore and experience. So is that part of what we choose? We choose the date, the time, and all of that based on how the whole astrological setup is, you know, Mars is in Venus's Jupiter pattern, whatever. I don't know. But is that all part of the equation?
Yes, it's all a part of the same equation. But to understand that concept, you have to understand the concept of karma. And we use that word so much, right? In North America, karma. The literal meaning of karma in Sanskrit is action. Karma is nothing but your action. So this is how the law operates. Karma is the principle of cause and effect, right? So every action has a positive or negative energy. And, you know, if you put an apple seed in the ground, you're going to get an apple tree, right? Not an orange tree. That's the law of karma. But how that impacts us is that in Vedic astrology, we say that karma is not just this life's karma. It is your past life karma as well. And based on that, a soul decides its birth time and its birth place even, its birth family. So imagine a baby comes in, right? The baby does not have any present life karma. It's just born, right? The baby hasn't done anything. The baby has not done any good deeds or bad deeds. So how does karma operate if the baby is born in a very well-to-do, healthy family, has brought a lot of, has no diseases or anything? That baby has brought his past life karma, and that's where the soul chose the time, which was pretty auspicious to be born. The planets were aligned. There were no malefic planets impacting that baby's birth chart. So that's the concept. So the concept of karma is like very critical when we are trying to understand Vedic astrology.
I just never thought about choosing a time and a date of birth based on how the planets are aligned. But I guess that all goes into the soup of deciding where and when to be born. That's totally new for me. I haven't ever heard of that before, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I love astrology, but I don't know anything about it. I love when people like you say, okay, here's where you were born. Here's the time. Here's the date, blah, blah, blah. Here's how the planets line up. And here's what this means to you. And there's always a correlation, but I don't need to know Mars's Jupiter or Saturn pattern because I rely on people like you who are experts on that to help me figure out all that stuff. Okay, let's go back for a minute. What is Vedic astrology and how does it differ from other forms of astrology?
Yeah, I love that. And I get this question a lot because, you know, most of us are familiar with two distinct systems. So one is Western astrology, one is Vedic astrology. So Western astrology is what we hear read about a lot. Like, you know, you will see everywhere, oh, Mercury is in retrograde, this is happening, that is happening. So the basis of both the systems are pretty much similar, but they have very different applications. So Western astrology actually comes from Greek, Roman, like cultures, right? Vedic astrology is really embedded into the ancient civilization 5,000 years ago. So these are the people, you know, who would sit and observe planets, sometimes from their naked eyes, right? Well, we have so much pollution now that we cannot see planets very, we cannot even see stars clearly on the sky, unfortunately, but they would do that. And that's where they would write all these and all that knowledge has been passed on. So Vedic astrology is an ancient, very ancient system.
So it's more than twice as old as Western astrology, I'm hearing that, you.
Yeah. That is right.
And then what about the Asian astrology? Where's that come in?
So again, we have to go back 7,000 years, right, Julie? That this Indus Valley civilization, so if you look in the map, this is how it traveled, right? It originated in India, then it went to China. So they, and again, everybody is adding their symbolism, right? In Chinese astrology, they added a lot of animals because that is what the symbolism was, right? But then after a few years, it changed. And when it got to Greek and Romans, they changed a little bit as well. And again, it's not about one is right or one is wrong. You will, if you go to three different astrologers who are following, one is following Western astrology, one is following Vedic astrology, one is following Chinese astrology, you are going to see a lot of similarities. The difference happens in Vedic astrology that it has a very sophisticated planetary position system. which makes it very predictive in nature. Western astrology is very focused on psychology and your individual characteristics, your how do you operate, how do you think. It's very psychological that way. Vedic astrology does have that, but it is very predictive in nature. It is very karma focused in nature that, hey, I have brought karma in this area of life. I need to clean this up in this life. So it is very spiritual, predictive, and there is a bit of psychology there as well. So the prediction piece makes it very, I don't want to use the word special, but it makes it very different.
So as a financial girl, but also as a number cruncher girl, you,
yes,
that makes sense that you're the most led to that one because you were all about predicting financials and things like that for your clients and your companies and those kinds of entities with whom you work. That makes total sense to me. All right. Do you come from a spiritual family? What'd your family think when you got into this? Did they think you'd lost your ever loving mind?
No, I come from a family of doctors and accountants. So in my family, the saying goes that if you cannot become a doctor, then basically you're a failure. So at least become an accountant. And I followed that path. I'm like, okay, I don't want to really become a doctor. So I'm going to go get my CPA. So that is, yeah. So I come from a family where this was not, they were like, no, we have passed that stage. We don't follow all that. Just focus on, you know, like do good deeds. Yes. Do charity. That's all we can do. We don't have to go into all that. So a lot of my family members still don't understand what I do. They're like, what do you mean by you cannot do it at this time? And when I say that, oh, this is not a good time, just don't do it. And they do it and that happened. They're like, oh, it was just a coincidence. This was just a fluke, right? And I'm like, yeah, exactly. It was just a fluke. They still don't get it, but I don't expect them to understand because I was exactly in their position, right? I never believed in all this. So again, I was in a planetary position where I was open enough and something happened and it caused an awakening and that's it. I'm not expecting that that is going to happen with everybody. It was just, again, even that was very much dictated by the planets.
Well, all those smart people in your family are going to figure this out one day that Astra really knows what she's talking about. And then they're going to come to you. That happened to me with my older brother with the medical intuitive stuff. And he was like, oh, this is a bunch of nonsense and blah, blah, blah. And then one day, Astra, one of his best friends, had a stroke and he was in surgery and they were removing part of his skull because his brain was swelling. They were trying to, you know, help him. And he called me, my brother Jay, he called me and he said, Tim's had a stroke. He's on the table, his friend Tim. And he said, do your thing. Do your thing. And my younger brother John was the same way. Very much didn't believe in any of this stuff. And then shortly thereafter, he had a friend that something happened to. And he said, can you use your woo-woo powers to help him? So I'm telling you, they will figure it out one day that you really know what you're talking about because you're nailing stuff and they're saying, okay, how does Azra know this? That's like my brothers. How does she know this? Well, yeah,
right.
Magical because powers. You are,
yeah. And Julie, our family is used to looking at us in a certain way, right? So they have almost like an archetype of us, right? That Ezra is a little, you know, and I'm the youngest one of five brothers and sisters. So God help me, right? Like they think that I'm still that young kid, right? Who is still going to ask for things. And, you know, like they still think I'm a kid. So it's hard for them to actually picture us in a new light, right? But the funny thing is that my brother wanted to buy a property and he called me and he's like, so what do you think about it? I'm like, so are you saying what sister Azra thinks about it or what astrologer Azra thinks about it? And he paused for like 2 seconds and says, both. And I'm like, huh, interesting.
Yeah. We'll send him a copy of this interview. That'll help him.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. Why is somebody's birth chart important?
So this concept again goes back and this concept is present in a lot of different texts, right? If you look at ancient scriptures. So in Vedas, which is where ancient astrology comes from, what happens is that when you are born, that moment, so even if twins are born, right, their birth chart is different because they are 2 or 3 minutes apart. So Vedic astrology takes care of like even each minute, right? So let's say one kid is born. At that time, planets were in a certain position. Each planet has a different energy depending on where they are. They are born in a certain planetary position. Also, Vedic astrology has constellations. So constellations were in a certain position as well. It's like a snapshot. Think of it like an X-ray. X-ray taken. Now that is a static potential of a birth chart. So now that is going to be the static potential for that person's life. And whenever I say that, I offend so many people, and I was one of those people, that, hey, which means that I have no free will. It's all a destiny, right? Yes and no. So I always say that think of destiny as a cage, that static potential as a cage. Yes, you will be in that cage, but that cage is pretty big. It's probably, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 year old, you know, like it's a very big cage, right? But what you do inside the cage is your, it's yours, right? That's all free will. You can, again, sit and cry in the cage. You can create another house in the cage. You can do whatever you want. It's a very big cage. You have, again, 60, 70, 80, 90 years to figure it out and create whatever you want to create. And again, the law of karma comes in, right? That if in this cage I keep doing good things, I keep planting seeds, I am going to see the result in this life and the next life. So it's not that if you're not seeing the results, a lot of people are like, I do so much charity, I don't see any results. Well, you will see it. If not in this life, then again, the soul cycle continues, right? So that's the concept. The concept comes from the static potential where you were born.
It's really interesting because I do a lot of work with past lives.
Yes.
And as you know, and we can get information that we can corroborate and validate with historic documents, which is so much fun when that happens.
Right.
Oh, even, yes. Even down to the year and what happened and people's names, and we can find them in the census reports during that year and wherever it was that they lived. And I always will see a semblance of what I call a script, like a life script, and it's very generalized. And I see if I'm thinking correctly with this, Ezra. Is that the cage? I'll see the script where, let's say, the person is a teacher, and maybe they're a teacher in a one-room classroom in Bangladesh in one lifetime. And then in this lifetime, they're a university professor teaching something totally different. And then perhaps in another lifetime, they're a corporate teacher or they're a mother who's teaching. It's all about the teaching. That's the basic script. And then the free will comes in to, okay, I'm going to teach in this way in this lifetime, or I'm going to teach in these several ways in this lifetime. And furthermore, what I get is that we're looking at the same basic script. Again, I'm using that word, yeah, you know, liberally, to look at different perspectives of that same script. And I compare it with Hamlet. I think how Hamlet was written in 1602 by Shakespeare, but how many times has it been performed since that year? Oof. Who knows? Same script. But where was it performed? When was it performed? In what country? In what language? What was happening in the world? Who were the actors? Who was the director? All of that. Same script, different perspective. So that's how I look at karma, that it's things that we want to explore and experience and look at those experiences from a different perspective. Does that resonate with you?
That resonates so much, Julie. I'll give you a funny example, actually. And, you know, that blew my mind as well. And this happened like 2 weeks ago. I looked at somebody's birth chart and, you know, same. He was a teacher. Now he's a Reiki teacher. But he has, again, even with past lives, he was a teacher. And he confirmed that with the psychic. He's like, oh, you know what? I did some past life regression. Yeah, I was always a teacher. And I'm like, so why are you teaching in this part of the world? And he's from the UK, right? Like, we grew up in the same town, actually. So we were like, okay, why are you going in this part of the world? You can stay in the UK and do this. He's like, I have no idea. So I keep going back there. And then we literally started digging, and even our ancestors are connected somehow. So I'm like, looks like your fifth house is very activated. It has to do something with past life karma, something with your paternal family. Sorry, I can't see it right now, but I'm going to dig more into it. I'm going to look at the divisional charts, because there are like multiple divisional charts that you can look at too. And he's like, okay, yeah. I looked and again, all I could figure out was that it is coming from his paternal grandparent. Next time when we spoke, he said that, yeah, I keep going back to Egypt because, you know, my father was, you know, an army there and he has done some damage there. So I think I'm going and teaching there to clean up that karma. And I'm like, whoa, That's like mind blowing, right? That how we can look at three different things, and then you are able to tally it that, yeah, that makes sense.
I had a gal on the show, Azra, named Nina Monjandra, and the whole conversation, I don't know if you got to see that episode, but the whole conversation was about ancestral healing and how we can heal wounds from our ancestors that we didn't even know that go back, you know, maybe thousands of years even. And when we heal it, not only for ourselves, we heal it for our ancestors, but we heal it for future generations as well. What do you have to say about that?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
So, it does make sense. So this is, again, Vedic astrology has the karma, right? A lot of people, and we get a lot of those examples, right? That a person born in a poor family, they work hard, they become wealthy, and then their generations are set. That, okay, life is good. And
good
they
example.
Are like, right? And you're like, what did happen? Like, this guy was actually selling stuff on, like, on the street. And now all of us, the rags to riches stories, right? That is actually either past life karma impacting you or something impacting you in a way that now your generations are set forever. That's a very good example of what you just said, that yes, one karma, one action can actually have such a big impact that it can set your generations.
And well, where does the shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations come in? Because I see that where grandpa will make a lot of money, you know, the next generation kind of lives off of it and can help that. But the third generation comes in and it's not good. What's that all about? Is that's karma too? Have you ever heard of Cozy Earth bedding? It's your ultimate luxury escape. Cozy Earth sheets are temperature regulating and incredibly soft, and they even have a 10-year warranty. They're made from organic bamboo and silk, are hypoallergenic, and even antimicrobial. Cozy Earth sheets are so amazing. They've been on Oprah's favorite things list for 5 years in a row, and I have them on my bed right now. So, if you're ready to elevate your sleep, Cozy Earth has a special offer just for my listeners. Go to cozyearth.com and use the code ASKJULIE for a 35% discount. That's cozyearth.com and use code ASKJULIE for a 35% discount. Upgrade your sleep with Cozy Earth bedding. I love them and so will you.
That is all karma, because again, your static potential is all karma driven. But the problem is that what happens is that, you know, we start thinking that, okay, now it stops here. I have money. I don't have to do anything. Karma actually is action. Your actions are going to dictate your life. Your actions are going to dictate your this life and future life potential. So anytime, doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, doesn't matter. I always say charity, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know what? I'm not that rich. I'm like, can you go and once a month do something good for somebody? You don't have to do service. Go to your local library and help with something. Do something so your karmic bank is constantly replenishing. Because, you know, it's all in and out, right? And that's the concept of karma. But very close to concept of karma is the concept of dharma. Dharma is your life's purpose. And if you are in alignment with that, you're good. Sometimes we are not in alignment with that. And again, it also depends on your planetary period. When I was in my Mercury period, Mercury is the planet of intelligence and finances. I was in finance and I was pretty good at what I did. I was on my track to become a CFO with one of the biggest private equities. I don't want to name them here, but I was on the track to becoming CFO and it was good. And as soon as my planetary period changed, I wanted to start Reiki. I wanted to start meditation. So I became a Reiki grandmaster. I became an avid meditator. Every morning I started meditating and that was not me. Because my life's purpose was taking me there. It was such a big calling. And a lot of people are like, why am I feeling that way? I'm like, well, if you're feeling a certain way, you need to listen. Your body, your soul is trying to tell you something. You have to listen to it. And you know that, right? What is psychic potential? You preach this, Julie, that if it's coming, you have to listen what's coming, right? So again, the concept of dharma, your dharma is your life's purpose, which is very connected to your karma as well.
Interesting. Once we know the potential timing of events that can happen, what do we do with that information? Like you use the example of your brother wanting to buy a home. I get that. What are some other examples of how we can use the, and when you work with somebody, do you say, okay, this is the period this year where it's going to make sense to buy a house, start a new business, you know, sell your car, whatever. How do you put all that together?
Oh gosh, it's a difficult question, Julie. So I'll give you two examples and then you will tell me if I answered your question or not. One period can be good for one thing and bad for another thing. So I have this girl that I work with and I've been working with her for a while. So current time for her is very good in terms of business. She is running like a multi-six-figure business. She is good. She is happy. But that same time is not very good for her in terms of personal relationship. She got divorced during this time period, and this time period is going to run for 7 years. So we'll see what that brings. And she says, so basically, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to even see anybody because you're saying that the time is bad. That is the biggest mistake you can make. Because the time, which from a planetary perspective is not good, is your learning time. That's where you are sharpening the saw. That's where you are exercising your karma. So let's say the time is good for business. Yes, focus on that. But time is not good for a personal relationship, which means doesn't mean that you stop pursuing anything. No, that means that you start working on yourself. That means you start looking at, okay, what are the mistakes I have made in the past? What are the things I can learn from? How can I use this time to exercise my karma? That's what's going to make this time very fruitful for you. So when this planetary period is over, and I have seen this time and again, Julie, the planetary period is over and they're like, met someone, got married. How did that happen? Why? Because you were exercising your karma already. It's not that it happened like that. You were already working on yourself. You were ready when the event happened. Because if you don't do anything for 7 years and you just keep playing that negative tape in your head that, oh, bad timing, this is not going to work out. Even when you're out of that negative period, you will be so negative that you won't be able to do anything.
It seems that from the beginning of time, kings and popes and presidents and CEOs have used astrology. I think of King Arthur and Merlin the magician. And when President Reagan here in the U.S. was shot, after he was shot, he and his wife Nancy consulted with astrologers a lot about when to schedule trips and different talks and things like that. If that's the case, and it seems to be a true example of astrology being used in a multitude of ways, why is it still undercover in this day and age?
So there are, that's such a great question, actually, Julie. So there are two reasons, right? Anytime any spiritual modality, when it picks up, it is, you know, there is a way where it is like sort of silenced, right? So that's one reason. The second reason is that a lot of people have started abusing that as well. So a lot of astrologers themselves, right? So there are few rules, right? So for instance, if somebody comes to me, I'm not allowed to share with them the date of when they are going to die. Although sometimes astrologers can see that in their birth chart. They may see things that, you know, this person may abuse this privilege. They are, it's their responsibility as astrologers to not share those things. But when those things started happening, astrology started getting sort of like a bad reputation, right? And a lot of astrologers started saying things that the other person wanted to hear. So the real essence of astrology was sort of like, okay, then it stayed with people who were really practicing it, but again, they never made it mainstream. In Vedic astrology, a lot of people still use the superficial thing that, hey, what's the auspicious time I'm doing that? Is the moon in a good position right now? If it's a very dark moon, I don't want to do that. So people are using, making use of just the superficial things. Just from the perspective of, is it auspicious? Is it going to be lucky for me? Is it going to be good for wealth and money, right? Again, so it became very superficial. The essence is actually understanding yourself, awareness. Once you have that, I think that's the biggest wealth. Again, I am quoting the same example. It's like your x-ray. You need your x-ray so you understand which bone is fractured and which one is not. But if you start using your x-ray to be like, okay, actually, I'm going to add two bones here so I can become, you know, taller. That's not the purpose, but that's what the people started using it for. I think that's where a lot got hidden. And even now, I know astrologers that are going to give you the information that you're like, oh, you're not allowed to divulge that. You are not allowed to bring it in that direction. But again, it's one of those, it's same with energy healing. It's same with psychics, right? Mediumship, right? Because, and you are a medium, you know that there are things, you are a medium because there is a filter, right? That's why you are there, because there is a filter. It's same with astrology. So because of that, it is very mainstream if you think about, you know, people talking about planets all the time, but it's not mainstream. The real essence is not still understood by a lot of people.
Well, my mother used to read her chart every day in the newspaper. And she was not a, she was spiritual more from a religious standpoint, but she would see what was going on and what to expect for the day. And I know a lot of magazines still have the monthly, here's your astrological forecast for the month.
Right. That one is the Western astrology forecast because, so that's another very distinguishing point that Western astrology is all sun-based. So sun moves from one house to another, the astrological houses, I mean, every month, right? So 28, 30 days. Whereas Vedic astrology is very moon-based and moon moves houses every 2.5 days. So sun is going to give you what is going to happen in the month. Moon is actually going to tell you that in next 2 days, this may happen. Next 2 days, that may happen. And moon is very underrated. But if you look from, read any NASA scientific paper or read any scientific paper, you will see that moon still has a lot of impact on us. Moon impacts tides and oceans, right? What are we? We are 70% water. So of course.
Good point. Moon impacts. I never thought of that. Wow. Yeah.
So a lot of people say, why? I was fine yesterday. I don't know what's happening. Oh, it's my moon is like, you know, in this house, or my moon is dark today, or it's a full moon. So all the emotions are coming up. So if you look at tsunamis, and there is a very good research, and I don't have it handy right now, which actually tried to correspond that, you know, all the major tsunamis, any water accidents that happened, where was the moon? And that proves the point as well.
So was the moon close or was it far away with those accidents, those natural disasters?
So they looked at it from the brightness of the moon perspective. Usually when the moon is dark, it can cause a lot of moon accidents. The tsunamis usually happen on full moons because, you know, the energy is pretty high.
Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts about full moons. Number one, there are lots of people that say, okay, all the crazies come out. The crimes are more during a full moon, the emergency room visits, the people who have mental illness or addiction issues or something, they're kind of like, you know, really active during the full moon. When it's a full moon, it makes me want to howl like a coyote. And so it's a joke in our family. If there's a full moon, I'm howling. There have been many times when I'm outside taking the trash out or something at night, and I'll come around to the basement where our media room is, and my husband will be in there watching a movie, and I'll be outside the window howling, and he'll just shake his head like, you are so crazy. But it's hilarious. The other thing that comes to mind too is I lived in a sorority house for part of my college, and we all had our periods. We all had our menstrual cycles on the same day. I mean, there were like 80 girls in this house, and you just see these trash cans full of tampons because we all had our periods at the same time. And it inevitably, it was at the same time of the month. And I never thought about the moon, but when you said we're 70% fluid, I always thought, well, it was just, we were kind of, our cooties were rubbing off on each other or something. I don't know what was going on, but what, how's that work that you have? And that's very common, like roommates, if there are three or four women living together, I think in convents, they talk about that, that they all kind of get on the same cycle. So that would make sense to me that it has to do with the moon.
Energetics, yes, 100%. Another funny thing that happens with moon is that as you speak about it, a lot of people say that, oh, full moon, do this full moon ritual. There is a Western astrologer who actually consulted with me for Vedic astrology. She's like, oh, I just want to understand. And she's like, oh, full moon. I'm like, you need to stop your full moon rituals because your moon is, you were born on a no moon. There was no moon. It was fully dark. You need to stop doing these moon rituals. And she was like, again, she was a Western astrologer. She's like, oh, you're challenging me. I'm like, no, let me explain you. And then that's when I showed her data. I'm like, yes, there is a full moon ritual, sure. But you have to also look at how the moon is sitting in your individual birth chart. And a lot of people will be like, oh, you must be doing this because it's Mercury retrograde. I'm like, sure, there is Mercury retrograde. Thank you. But you have to look how that planet is in your individual chart. It's like you say that everybody is getting arthritis, so maybe I have it too. No, you have to look at your x-ray, please, right? So there is a mundane, you know, there is an overall overarching energy of the planet, but how that planet is placed in your birth chart, that's going to dictate your life. It's not like a peanut butter thing that everything, everybody is, yeah. But as you said, when people are living together, their energy is matching. Yes, a lot of it happens, right? The cycles are in sync. Me and my daughter, we were in sync. Like, it happens.
Yeah, it's wild.
But you also have to, yeah, you have to look at your individual birth chart as well. Instead of just saying that, oh, it's Mercury retrograde, it is going to be bad. Oh, maybe your Mercury is exalted in your chart and a little retrograde is not even impacting you. And it happens all the time.
Well, along that topic, what's coming to mind is my 40th birthday. When I turned 40, I had nine of my best girlfriends meet me in New Orleans, and we had five suites. We got this whole wing of this hotel. And I said to them, you get down there and I will, you know, take care of everything else. And so we did. And we had two big dinners and it was just a blast. It was amazing. For years afterwards, my friends would send me a card and it'd say, happy third anniversary of your 40th birthday party because it was so much fun, Ezra.
So much fun.
When we were there, of the 10 of us, we either had our birthday on the same day as another woman that was there in our group or within a day. It was wild. Like, there were three friends whose birthdays were December 17th, 18th, and 19th. There were two friends whose birthdays were May 20th, and then one whose birthday was May 22nd. What was that all about? How does that relate with the church? Everyone of my friends, and these were my best girlfriends, every one of us that was there either had our birthday on another woman's birthday that was there or on a day before or after that day. What's up with that?
Yeah. So I'll give you a long answer for that. So have you ever seen people who are like born like 17th May, 18th May, right? And then you look at those two people and you're like, they are both Taurus sun signs. Why are they so different? They are like chalk and cheese different, right? Because, and that proves that two people, actually same day. I know a lot of people who were born on my birthday and they are very different human beings. Because sun represents our projection to the world. So sun is my soul. Sun is what the world sees me as. So you see me as, whatever you see me as, that's my projection, right? That's what I'm projecting. Because sun is the biggest projector. The sun gives, and if remove sun, it's dark, right? So this is what I'm showing you. This is what you are seeing. That's sun. Moon, on the other hand, is your emotional mind. So two people may look same. They are like, yeah, I understand. I'm very stubborn. You're very stubborn. We are both Taurus sun signs. But internally, who you are, your moon and ascendant sign is going to dictate that. So yes, it's fun to share your birthday with someone. And you know, those people resonate because they are projecting the same way and you become friends with those people as well. But who you actually are is your ascendant sign, which is in Western astrology called the rising sign. And who you emotionally are is your moon sign. Moon, literally. So our emotions are what? Our hormones, right? And moon rules those hormones because moon rules water.
Interesting. Back to my friends, that there's one gal who was born on the same day as I was, and the other one was born 2 days later. We were all born in the same hospital. And back then, the mom stayed in the hospital usually for at least a week, maybe 10 days. So my one friend, Beth, says, yeah, we were all raising hell in those lingerie bins in the nursery. and we all met in college, and we're all still friends 45 years later.
So that is karmic. That is karmic cycle, right? A lot of time you feel affinity towards someone and you're like, oh, you're from that town as well? And the more you are attuned to it, as you are, you will probably see those synchronicities more because you're like, oh, because I'm listening better, right? These things are happening, but this is a karmic pattern, right? That, oh, you were, oh, I know you were from the same town. Oh, I know you from there. This is all karmic patterns, and it's also sometimes connected to our soul contracts, right? Every soul has made a contract before entering the universe. So maybe this person, you have an affinity because you know them from past lives.
Oh, I'm sure. Everybody in our lives is a soulmate. Not a romantic soulmate necessarily, but I always say the checkout girl at the grocery store is your soulmate, you know, that you say hi to when you go in there. Okay. You pair neuroscience with ancient principles of Vedic astrology and energy healing to help your clients. Of course, I'm super interested in this. So tell us about that. And tell us also, what's astrology DNA?
So again, astrology DNA is your static potential. It's like your X-ray, your DNA. Now you know who you are, right? And again, it's not that.
So it's not a medical thing necessarily.
No, it's not.
It's a figure of speech.
No, it's a figure of a speech, correct. So let's talk about this. So think of this, and if you're listening, if everybody's listening on audio, I'm just raising my one hand and saying, this is your static potential. You were born on this date. this happened. This is the static potential in your birth chart, planetary position on your birth chart. But on the other hand, planets are constantly moving, right? So rather this moving. So whenever this energy matches with that, something happens. Then they are moving, something happens. But what do I do with this information unless you use it from a psychology perspective? So again, the example that I was giving you, right? So I was coaching this very, very, very nice gentleman. He's an entrepreneur and he wants to scale his business. And he goes to somebody to, you know, get some help. Now, this person is saying that I'm going to put you on TEDx stage. And I'm like, yeah, very good idea. Sure. Go on TEDx stage because that is where you are going to be able to scale your business. Sure. But I see in your birth chart and see that Mercury is very weak in your birth chart. Your house of speech is very weak. Do you actually like? He's like, no. I'm like, then why are you doing that? Like, I don't know. I just went to him to discuss and he just, you know, pumped me up so much that I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on the TEDx stage. But his chart is showing that that's not what he wants to do. That's not where his strength lies. We started looking into details. I looked at his house of writing and authorship. And I'm like, do you write? He's like, oh yeah, I have journals and journals. You know, I write all my thoughts. I do all kind of journaling. And I'm like, have you ever thought of writing a book? No, I can't be a writer. That's where psychology comes in. So somebody pumps you up for something, you get ready to do that, but you are not able to see your inherent strength. That's where neuroscience comes in. So why is this person who has journals and journals of written material, doesn't want to publish it, doesn't want to write a book? That's psychology, because he was not conditioned that way. We all have our own baggage, right? Maybe one day, just somebody said that, oh, this paragraph looks so weird. Oh, it's so bad. You write so bad. And we are going to sit with it and just hold on to it for the rest of our lives.
In the third grade, they get told that.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Are there certain medical symptoms that correlate with planetary alignments? Have you found that there's a connection there?
There is a very strong connection. So there is a total, like, full arm of Vedic astrology called medical Vedic astrology. So each planet actually represents a chakra in your body. And whenever that is out of alignment, so you will see that if the planet is out of alignment, you are going to be like, oh, I never got this disease. Why? My tummy never hurted before and now my tummy is hurting. Why? What happened? But the biggest culprit, I shouldn't say culprit, I don't want to upset the planet, but moon, I would say, is anything emotional, psychological. Moon is a big, big part of that usually. Because again, our brain is also fluid, right? It's liquid, right? So it does impact our mind a lot whenever the moon positions changes. And a lot of psychological disorders, you can see that in the person's birth chart.
Is there a correlation, and I don't know the answer to this, but this is just coming into my head. Is there a correlation between suicides and the position of the moon? Do you see that there's an increase in suicides based on what the phase is of the moon?
Yes. So it's less phases. It's usually anytime a dark moon is present in your birth chart and it is aspected by, or it has any relationship, it can be conjunct, it could be aspected by Saturn, that's when we see suicides.
Well, which is interesting because the whole pagan, I'm thinking of the pagan ceremonies and all that kind of stuff and how they were so afraid when the moon was in certain phases. And so that's where maybe a lot of that originated.
Yes. So again, how moon impacts you, only your birth chart can tell. So if there is a dark moon, but in my birth chart, I have a full bright moon, then dark moon is not going to be able to, like, you know, take my sleep away. Because I personally have a good moon. The moon's position is good. The moon is exalted. The moon is in its own sign. The moon is aspected by all the benefic planets.
then I don't have much to worry about. Is it a dark moon still? Yeah, sure, it is a dark moon. Nobody's denying that. But the impact of that dark moon on me is way less than somebody who was born during an eclipse. Right? And that's where we see that, you know, eclipse moon conjuncting with Saturn. Yeah, those people really struggle.
Can Vedic astrology help us design like a personalized diet and lifestyle exercise plan that would be helpful? Do you get that granular, easy for me to say, on that?
But I have gotten that granular with my kids, and I'll tell you how.
With your kids? Oh, yeah. With good luck with that.
Because with every transit, you will see the areas that are prone to, you know, this balance, right? So if, depending on which house the moon is going, you know, depending on which house the malefic influences, that house is going to get impacted, right? So for instance, my first house represents my head. So whenever there is a malefic influence on the first house, everything is fine. It's just that I get headaches, random headaches. My naturopath is like, oh, nothing changed. Why are you? I don't know. And has been happening forever. Now I know why it happens. Because the first house has some benefic influences. So I take extra care of for myself, right? Certain houses will impact your periods and all. So you're like, oh, I am in so much pain this time. I'm getting more cramps than I usually do. That's because that house has some benefic influences. So I always say, don't get scared of that. Use that information that if I am prone to headaches, I need to actually eat better, sleep better, and take care of myself a little bit more than I usually do. So use that as information instead of freaking out.
Yeah, good way to transmute that fear, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, Jimmy, I always use your 2 minutes rule where I'm like, oh, if it's not killing me in next 2 minutes, and I thank you so much for that rule. If it's not killing me in next 2 minutes, it's fine.
It's a fake fear.
Good.
Yeah, it's fake.
Exactly.
Fears. I know that you say that more than half of your consultations are financial and business related. Why are these linear thinker brains like you have, why are they turning to this science at this day and age? Is it because they're being led from a spiritual standpoint? Is it because they know somebody that's had luck with it? Is it all of the above? And along those lines, what is it from a spiritual standpoint that gave you the courage to go into this line of work and leave your backup position since you decided not to be a doctor, you know, as a CPA and an MBA?
Oh, gosh. So you'll be surprised that a lot of people use astrology for spiritual and non-spiritual reasons. So I have, and again, I have to sign a lot of non-disclosure agreements. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how many celebrities, how many influencers, how many athletes I get calls from. And I'm like, wow, you would never look at them and say that they would believe in astrology. And they would probably, if I put them on a spot, which I will never do, but if I do, they will be like, I don't know who Ezra is. And again, I cannot do that because I have signed NDAs. But so people believe in it. It's just that they don't want to say it because it's still not mainstream. It's still a bit woo-woo, right? So there are spiritual reasons are that, hey, I have achieved so much. What next for me? I still don't feel happy. What did I bring? And now they want to explore that. So those are their spiritual reasons. Sometimes they come for spiritual reasons like, oh, what is my calling actually? Yeah, I'm very successful at what I do. Especially younger influencers, right? They'll be like, oh, I'm very successful. Like I'm 30 and I am like, you know, a multimillionaire. What next for me? I just don't feel any motivation. So they will come and explore their spiritual side. But a lot of people explore the non-spiritual side as well. Especially athletes. They are like, my game was really bad last time. What happened? What about my next game? Where do I need to focus? And that's where medical astrology helps as well. that, okay, you need to really focus on this area so that you can get better results. So it's a combination. Non-spiritual, Julie, I wouldn't get crazy questions like, should I invest this? Like, you know, should I invest in crypto? And I'm like, whoa, no mention of a spirituality. So people are using it for both the spiritual and non-spiritual reasons. Although I do feel that when you use it for both together, you get the most benefit out of it.
So do you have them sign disclaimers that this is not financial advice? You know, you can't come back and hold me liable for any decision you make based on the information I give you?
I do. And, you know, sometimes I see a lot of things, but again, we have to filter, right? I don't give that. So again, my information is mostly, yes, this time is good for this time, and this time is not good for these things. So in astrology, there is a house of a speculation. I just look at that house and I'm like, yeah, this is a good time. Most of your things are going to end up being successful. This is not a good time. Stay put. Don't do anything.
Okay. All right. Let's see. You say that we all start with a dash of destiny. I love that phrase. Our fate and destiny predetermined at the time of the person's birth. You talked about this at the beginning of our conversation when you said, okay, you're in this cage, but you can have fun in the cage or you can be miserable in the cage and all of that. The destiny thing to me is that's that basic script I was talking about with past lives, but then you can take it in a multitude of ways. For me, I'm obviously a teacher. I had a lot of relatives that were teachers, and I said, I am not going to be a teacher because they don't make any money and they aren't treated well sometimes, and they work their tails off and a lot of times are not appreciated and blah, 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 blah. Well, what have I done my whole life, my whole career? I've taught people how to use medical devices. I taught people how to use the medical devices that I invented. I taught people how to do stuff in all of my companies that I've had. What am I doing now? I'm teaching people around the world how to use spirituality to enhance their lives, regardless of what their career or their path is. It's all there for us, and it's all guidance for us. So that basic, you know, script of, okay, you're a teacher, I've used it in a multitude of ways, as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a whatever. And I think we all do that. And that goes back to the destiny thing. So is it that the destiny, we could equate that with a really basic script of what we're doing, and then we can take it in whatever direction we want, and in the same lifetime, take it in a bunch of different directions?
100%. So again, another example that I often use to just exactly what you said. We have those basic outlines in our life so many times. So let's say you are going from, I don't know, New York to Miami, okay? You are stuck for those 3 hours. That's your destiny. You're stuck, right? Now, what you do in those 3 hours is up to you, right? You can fight with a fellow passenger. You can read a book. You can listen to a podcast. Whatever you do is going to determine your karma, right? If you fight with a fellow passenger, that's a bad karma. Your trip is already ruined and, you know, you are going to see the results of it. But if you read a book, now you are in a better mood. You are going to accumulate better karma and then you are going to see the results of that. It's just a high-level outline. Where I was born was my destiny. What I did with that is my free will. And again, that's exactly what a lot of people say, that, oh, now I'm doomed, right? This is what my life is. No. We have so much control, and that's where the neuroscience comes in. That's where the energy work comes in. That's where the spirituality comes in. If you understand your brain and if you understand your energy, you now have the tools to actually live a better life.
Yeah, I agree. A couple more questions as we're wrapping up here. And this is more of a religious spiritual question. if you will. There are scholars that believe that Jesus spent a lot of time in India and places like that outside of the Mediterranean and you know, Israel and the Middle East, because the Bible leaves off at about the age 12 and it picks up when Jesus is 30. That's number one. Have you, and scholars say that there are lots of historic documents and historic references that validate that concept. My question to you about that is, how did and or how did Jesus integrate astrology into his teachings? Certainly, we've just come over the holidays and the Star of Bethlehem, some people believe was a comet, and it from an astrological forecast, led the three kings, the story goes, you know, to the baby Jesus. Is there a correlation there? Is that just totally out of left field? Have you read anything about it? Do you know anything about it?
So I'm not an expert in this, so I'm not going to say a lot, but you would be surprised that a lot of biblical biblical, like, you know, if you read something and you'll be like, so much about stars, and, you know, there are so many references that gets us thinking that, where are those coming from? Which means that we were very attuned to those things. Even if you go to Middle East and read the text there, so I'm talking about Bible and Quran, you will see a lot of references and you'll be surprised that, wow, where is this coming from? But so there is, again, history says that a lot of astrological books were burned when the Indus Valley civilization was, because a lot of kings did not want this information to go in the hands of public.
Because they wanted to maintain control.
So that happened twice, actually. So second time when the India was invaded, not invaded, but, you know, when the partition happened. So this is pretty recent. I'm talking 70 years ago. But even before that, there were a lot of astrology books. They were getting burned when the king's dumps were getting invaded. So it's funny that they would come and burn your libraries and not your, they are not taking jewelry, they're burning libraries. That says something, right?
Interesting point. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and along those lines too, in the Bible, the number 7 stands for spiritual perfection. And I know in astrology, it seems like the cycles are 7 years.
Yes. So you will see a lot of 7s, 9s. And from a numerology perspective, a lot of things. And sometimes I'm like, wow, how can all these three different philosophies say the same thing? Why the 7 number is so auspicious in all these different, a lot of similarities in the Zen culture as well. It's just like, wow, how is that happening? Which proves that, yes, there is a history which is not known to us.
Fascinating. All right. Yes. Last question. Why do we incarnate?
So again, there is a concept in Sanskrit. It's called moksha. It's called, which literally means liberation. We keep reincarnating till our karmic load is zero. That's the concept, which means that if there is, it's like a debit and credit balance in your bank account, right? When it gets zero, you will not come back. The soul has found liberation. Now the soul is fine. But if there is any unfinished business, you have to come back and clean this up now, right? And it could be good. It could be bad. That's why, and again, when I was not too much into spirituality, I always said, how can you sit on a mountain and do nothing for your entire life and just meditate? They are not taking any karma. They are not taking any karmic load. And again, the purpose is moksha. The purpose is liberation. That does not mean that you do that. And again, a lot of people say, Asha, should I just go and sit on a mountain and meditate? As per in my guru's words, he said that world is your test. If you can keep your calm and keep your zen and exercise good karma in this life, that's actually way more beneficial than just sitting and doing nothing and meditating. So again, the purpose of reincarnation is to come back. Ideal situation would be that we get so much good karma in this life that our next seven lives are beautiful for us, for our next generations. And again, that you can accumulate that good karma in the form of good words. Good words count as very good karma. So just being kind to somebody. And you do that. I know you do that to even the cashiers, right? Like, it's beautiful. That's a good karma. Charity is a very good karma. And charity is not just money. Charity is also the charity of time. If you just spare 5 minutes to help someone, that's counted as good karma. So your words, your deeds, these are good karmas that you're accumulating. And you're going to take this to your next life.
Well, you are brilliant and fascinating and fabulous.
Thank you, Julie.
And thank you for sharing your wisdom and all your expertise with us. I know I learned a lot. I hope everybody watching learned a lot as well. How can people find out more about you and your work?
For sure. So you can reach out to me through my website. It's called astral-energy.com. I'm not a big social media person, but you know, if you message me on social, you will still find me. You'll probably find my VA, but all messages get to me. You can go to my website. You can enter your message there and it will reach me. And yeah.
All righty, everybody. That's it for today. That's a lot to absorb. So I'll leave you to it. It's sending you lots of love from Sweet Home, Alabama. Mwah! And from Ontario, Canada, where Azra is. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow Julie on Instagram and YouTube at Ask Julie Ryan and like her on Facebook at Ask Julie Ryan. To schedule an appointment or submit a question, please visit AskJulieRyan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be medical, psychological, financial, or legal advice. Please contact a licensed professional. The Ask Julie Ryan Show, Julie Ryan, and all parties involved in producing, recording, and distributing it assume no responsibility for listeners' actions based on any information heard on this or any Ask Julie Ryan shows or podcasts.